The title of my message, Be Doers of the Word, simply quoting the scripture from James, the first chapter. So we'll go to James, the first chapter. We're going to read verses 19 through 25 of James, the first chapter. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And we'll stop there. Scripture here talking about being doers of the word. Doers of the word. And I've been preaching messages, started some time back, just basic kind of ABCs of serving God. And first I preached on what it means to be saved, what it means to be, scripture would term, born again, or made alive, or regenerated. And there's many words that are used in the scripture to talk about our salvation experience when we trust in Christ as our Savior. And from that message, then, I talked about baptism, because baptism is essential. It's the first step we need to make in a service to God, after we're saved, of course. So I preached a message on baptism. And last week, I preached on the Word of God, how the Word of God has been provided for us. We have the truth. We have the truth in the Word of God, in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And it's so important. It's so such an important tool to the Christian. All of the information that God has given for us to follow and to do His will, it's given to us through this Bible. So talked about that last week. This week I want to talk about being doers. You know, we need to actively serve the Lord. And I guess what I'm trying to say is we need to do the things that the Bible commands us to do. And it's a big difference between, there's a big difference between knowing the Word of God and living the Word of God. You know what, I bet, you know who I think is probably really good at quoting scriptures and at the same time misquoting scriptures would be Satan, right? He's pretty knowledgeable in the Word of God, you know, and he tried to use it against Jesus in the garden and twist it into saying something that wasn't there. And he did that in the garden, too, so with Eve. Part of what he said were the words of God. But the problem is he mixed in that, you won't surely die, right? And so the word is here for us and to guide us in being doers of the word. And the first thing we see in the reading today, starting in verse 19, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Those are challenging words, aren't they? Sometimes easier to do that than maybe other times. But that is a spiritual quality. "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So it's not, you know, we might get angry, we might be motivated by anger to say something, but the flesh does not produce spiritual things. The flesh just doesn't produce spiritual things. So if when we're trying to serve God, we're doing it from an attitude that I have something to offer and I am worth something and my works are worth something. Really, this is the wrong motivation. These are works of the flesh. When we do things with ulterior motives, it might look good on the outside, but on the inside, it may not be good at all. God sees our insides. God knows what motivates us to serve us or whatever we're doing. God sees our hearts, and He knows what's going on in our hearts. And He wants our hearts to be right. You know, when our hearts are right with God, and we surrender ourselves to Him and His service, He can do marvelous things in our lives if we just surrender. But it has to be in and through Jesus Christ and the power of Christ working us through the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not overcome evil." Oh, excuse me, I read that wrong. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, that's a good scripture to remember on an ongoing basis. Every day, remind ourselves, we're not going to be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. How do we overcome evil? With good. Very, very straightforward. And so, in order to do the things that God would have us to do as Christians, we must allow the Spirit of God to work in us in order to produce the things of God. It's not going to come from our flesh. This is the problem the Pharisees and the Sadducees had. They were really working from a very fleshly, a very outside kind of service to God. And their service to God was unacceptable because Jesus said their hearts weren't right. They needed an adjustment. What do they got? What's an attitude adjustment? They need an attitude adjustment. They needed to be right on the inside. And because they're right on the inside, it motivated works of faith for God. And that's true for us. We don't want to be just posers, you know, looking like a Christian on the outside. I go to church. I get money. You know what? That's good. Keep doing that. But if that's all you do and it's all on the outside and you're just running down there to appease an angry God or an angry spouse or, you know, or something in your own conscience, and you're not really doing the work of God in faith and in love, it's not going to be acceptable to God. God sees that. The flesh does not produce spiritual things. In the very beginning in Genesis, we see, we have this. Could somebody give me a little water? Kind of dry. You know, I think that throughout time, God has made it clear what He wants from man. Now, we have the Old Testament scriptures. Those are pretty clear. We have New Testament scriptures. Those are pretty clear. But even before the Old Testament, God made His will known to man. Genesis, the fourth chapter. We look at Cain and Abel. And Genesis, the fourth chapter, verse 3 says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So, thank you, Brother Jim. So Cain is angry, and he because his offering was not accepted by God. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" You know, it seems obvious to me from this verse of Scripture that they knew what God wanted. They knew what God wanted. I've heard different ideas about, because it wasn't a lamb, God rejected it. He wanted a blood sacrifice. He wanted that sacrifice to reflect on the work of God and on the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I think there's validity to that point of view. Cain, whatever Cain was bringing, it was not spirit motivated. It wasn't. So he might have been it might have been a great offering, you know. It might have been like, I'm thinking of Thanksgiving and this horn kind of horn of plenty. Is that what it's called? What?
Cornucopia.
A lot of food and abundance. I'll study up on that when I get home. It might have been a great offering. You know, he might have brought the best, but there was something wrong. There was something wrong with, fundamentally, what was wrong was he did not bring it in faith. And the Bible is very clear on that. So whatever his motivations were, self-promotion, I'm better than Abel, I could beat him any day. You know, who's the oldest? Cain? Yeah, you know, I had an older brother. And, you know, he didn't like to be shown up by his little brother, right? We don't know exactly, other than, as the book of Hebrews says, that Abel's sacrifice was brought in faith. Now we can easily see through the sacrifice that his sacrifice pointed to Jesus Christ. And so what I kind of see here is, on the one hand, Cain's offering is motivated, I believe, by the flesh. It wasn't motivated by faith. It wasn't motivated by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God would have led him to bring an acceptable sacrifice. But it was motivated by something else. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so, if anything else of the flesh, we notice all these things from the flesh. Maybe Cain and Abel had contention. Maybe they didn't get along. And maybe, who knows? Jealousy. Maybe he thought God was unfairly treating him unfairly, or treating his brother differently, or maybe he was subject to wrath. We know that he was. He got angry when God rejected not only his sacrifice, by the way, he rejected him because he didn't bring the right kind of sacrifice. So we know that he, in wrath, in anger, in jealousy, killed his brother. So any time that our works are not being motivated by the Spirit of God by the heart of God in faith and in love. Many times people do things that are motivating them from hatred, contention, jealousies, selfish ambition. You can see this in church. It happens. It happens in churches where somebody gets jealous, somebody gets angry, and then they may twist that into righteous indignation in their mind, right? But these are not the things, these works of the flesh, they are not the things that produce acceptable spiritual works. And we, apart from God, apart from Christ, we of ourselves simply cannot produce acceptable works for God. It must be motivated through the Holy Spirit, through the new nature, with the right attitude. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." I was thinking of this song. It's kind of got a nice rhythm to it. I kind of like it, the melody, how it sounds. But I just really hate the words. And I'm sure some of you have heard it. It's not a new song, by the way. It's not terribly old, but what if God were one of us? He's not. He's not. We don't need to go any farther in the song. He's not. He's not just a person with problems like the rest of us. No. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, man makes up the God that he wants, right? Even if it's a Christian God, they like to make him the way they want him. All love, all sweet pie, but no discipline. They're not seeing God for who he is and the way he works. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." No. "Says the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We are never going to produce good for God on our own. God must be working in us. God's Spirit must be working in us. And we need to know and understand what the Word of God teaches about how we are to serve God acceptably. And the first thing we notice in our text, go back there to James, the first chapter. "Therefore," well, we'll go back to verse 20 and read it again. "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." Put aside. We're called to live a holy life for God. We are to allow, to surrender ourselves to God's service. That means we must put away the old man, the old ways. I know that we're all wrestling and fighting against the old man in our own lives on a personal level every day. Keep fighting that fight. God wants us to be a holy people. You know, it's amazing. A lot of things have been happening on television lately. I don't know if you noticed. But several times we've seen people maybe nominated for an office or something, and then they go and they start trying to find all the dirt on them. They find the dirt, and of course all the dirt's posted, right? So it kind of discredits that individual, and they end up not getting the job, you know, or getting kicked off their job because of things they've done in the past. We don't want to be the kind of person whose life is so out of sync with the Word of God, and maybe even the person whose life is so out of sync with the Word of God, they're knowledgeable of the Word of God. Knowledgeable of the Word of God. How about preachers? Preachers should know something about the Word of God, right? And how many times they lose their mind, but some of them have lost their mind. I don't know what they're thinking. And then they lose their ministry because of the way they act. Anything that happens before we're saved is somewhat inconsequential. I mean, God forgives us of all of our sins when we trust Christ as our Savior. But we want to be a vessel of God that is fit for the Master's use. We should be identified by our friends and co-workers. We should be identified as a Christian. We shouldn't have to tell them we're a Christian. We should live it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell people about Christ. I'm saying you shouldn't have to go around and say, I'm a Christian. Because it should be evidenced by our attitudes and by our actions in our lives. We should be living our faith. We should be renouncing the old ways, the old things that were against God, that were sin, and putting on that new man. Romans 6 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's not enough just to know what the Word of God says, to be a very dedicated student. But we need to apply what we learn to our lives and live that out in our lives. Walking in newness of life. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then down in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. The emotions of the flesh are not going to produce the things of God. It's only when the Spirit of God is working in us that we're going to produce the things of God. Works of faith. Notice what the Spirit produces. We've seen what the flesh produces. What does the Spirit produce? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, when we are coming from this attitude, from this perspective in doing what we do, these are works that are going to be blessed by God, motivated by the Holy Spirit working in us. And excuse me. So we are to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, the word of God, which is able to save your souls. The word of God, as I preached on last week, I'm not going to re-preach that message, but the word of God is essential. It's essential for us to know what God would have us to do. We have to search the scriptures. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are to study the word of God. We are to be learners, students. Always, all of our lives, you know, as long as Brother Wersky has been around, he's still, even though he's not pastoring, he still studies the Word of God. It should be a joy, a refreshing thing to study the Word of God. It should be our desire to know more. You know, sometimes I have no desire to know more, right? In several things in life, there are just some things that I don't need to know more. Don't cloud me up with the details. Just get straight to it, right? And sometimes that's all you need. But you know what? When it comes to studying the Word of God, we should desire to, like that onion, to just keep peeling layers back and seeing God more fully. And that's what will happen. Jesus is the Word. We shouldn't be satisfied with just top water, having a top water understanding of who we are, what we believe, what we stand for. Do you love strong doctrine? We should. We should have a desire to know, a burning desire to know, like birds, like little birds when they're hatched. They just make a lot of noise with their mouths wide open, right? Feed me, feed me. That's the way we should feel about the Word of God. Wanting more, wanting to know more, wanting to learn more. And I really want to encourage us to, as a church, to be supporters of the services. It's important. It's important. Anytime we have a visitor, and it doesn't matter so much in one way what our visitors think. We really care about what God thinks. That's first. That's A number one, right? We care. What we're doing here, we're doing for God. And how we act or whether or not we attend church can really kind of give an impression to anybody walks through those doors to visit us. You know, they see the congregation. Now, they're going to make a judgment. You know, and hopefully then we're gracious and we're loving to one another and we're open and loving to them, any visitor that comes in. And hopefully we're going to be manifesting the right spirit, the fruit of the spirit, the love for each other that we have. They're going to see that, and they're going to understand that God is in this place. When we manifest the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, especially expressing our love for one another, the Bible says this is how they'll know you are my disciples. And we need to be preaching the Word of God. We need to be growing, ongoing. Ongoing, we need to keep growing in the Word of God so that we can be that worker who does not need to be ashamed. You know, do you answer the door when religious people knock on it? Do you engage them in conversation? You know, they need the Lord. They think they have the Lord, but they need the Lord. And we should not be covering up a light, so to speak, as the scripture talks about our good works, but we should not be covering the light, but letting it shine. Preaching the word to those who are around us, and preaching and knowing what we're talking about. Knowing and understanding. I would like every member of the church to be able to defend the faith. To give an answer for why you go to this church. Why this church? Why are you a missionary Baptist? We should have that understanding. Every member should desire to know more. And the only way you're going to know more is by exposure to the Word of God. Now that comes on a personal level. I know we're all busy, but we need to spend time in the Word of God at home. And then we need to come to the church services to be taught. The Lord has given, I think Brother Jim was talking about the gifts that God, that Christ gave to the church last week, and he was talking about deacons, and deacons is another gift that God has given to the church. And how these are to benefit, that the gifts that were given are to benefit the growth of the church. So when we have services and your pastor is preaching and the teachers, we have classes, the teachers are teaching, this is where we're being fed the Word of God. One place, doesn't have to be, it shouldn't be the only place, but it should be a predominant place. Now I want to say, if you're coming on Sunday morning only, you're not always getting a deeper message. I always try to give the congregation some meat along with milk for those who are visiting or those who are still growing up in the Word. I'm always trying to feed everyone, but we have other times when we meet and we're really digging deeper into the Word of God. And I would encourage you, I know some of you can't, you're physically hampered from that, but it should be a burden on our hearts to be in the place where we're communing with God through His Word. Amen. So, as we read, we should be diligent to present yourself to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Spending time in the Word is spending time with the Lord. That's exactly, you're not just reading a novel. You are communing with Christ. He is the Word. And, of course, the Word of God, the Bible, That is where we find God's instructions for our lives. What should we do? How should we live? The Word of God is what tells us. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's why it's important for us to know the Word of God, to study the Word of God, get into the deeper parts of the Word of God. It's important so that we'll be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verse 25 of our text says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." That perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, the finished Bible. And we need to get it rooted deeply in our hearts. Brother Hokama's not here today, so I'll take the liberty of sharing a little bit with you. It was Wednesday night. We were talking, and he was confessing to me that throughout the whole time, and it was a lot of years, that he was out of church, he was fearful of God's wrath. He was uncomfortable coming to church. He said that there were times when he came and he totally believed that his mother had given me the lowdown. And he knew that I was preaching just at him. And he talked about, you know, his fearfulness and his unhappiness. And he confessed, too, that even with the turbulence that's gone on in his life in the past year or so, he says, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy. Wow. You just never know. I wouldn't want to get him mad at me, you know. He's kind of built like a bull. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Looking to the Word, but having it firmly rooted. How did Brother Steve, why was it that he was so convicted? He said, "Every Sunday I knew I should be in church. Every Wednesday I knew I should be in church." It was like there wasn't a week that went by that when that day came, when Sunday or Wednesday came, he knew he should be in church. Where does that come from? I'll tell you where it come from. It came from home, number one. He was taught from a youngster that church was important, that services were important. He knew that he needed to be there, even though he wasn't. He had a knowledge, but that knowledge wasn't really of the Word of God. He had a correct knowledge of the Word of God, but it wasn't helping him because he wasn't doing it. You know what? I hope and I pray that if any of our kids wander off and get into trouble, I hope and pray that Holy Spirit would just keep bugging them until they come back. And we keep praying for them until they do come back. I'm glad Brother Steve came back.
Amen.
He's a blessing to the church. But you all are blessing. We've all had our independent trials and obstacles. But we know what the Lord wants. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to put off the flesh, put on that new man, as described and taught to us through the Word of God, and He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to be doers, not just hearers of the Word. Matthew 21 says in verse 28, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I'll not.'" He was straight up. Straight up. "I'm not going, Dad. I'm not going to do it. Sorry. I'm not going." Sometimes a little honesty is refreshing, right? But afterward, he regretted it, and he went. Okay? Amen. "Then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I was on my way, Dad.'" So just walking out the door. Well, not quite, but it says, "I go, sir." But he did not go. I'm going. You know, wouldn't you like to be judged on the things that you thought about doing for the Lord and the things you thought about doing for the church instead of what we've actually done? I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, man, I have way more thoughts about doing things than actual doing things. Wow. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody from being creative or trying to come up with new and innovative ways to reach the lost or any of those things. But I think probably a lot of us have this problem. I should witness to that guy. And you know, it's just not happening. Well, the flesh gets in the way. In this parable, we know that at first, the one son says no, but goes. And then I didn't finish reading what I wanted to read. Let me finish. And he answered and said, "I go," but he did not go. "Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, the first one. The one that said, "I'm not going." The tax collectors, the harlots, the cast down people, the look down upon people. Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." Why? Because they were living an ungodly life. And they realized their only hope was in Jesus Christ. And they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they made Him Lord of their lives. They've got a place in Christ's kingdom. The second one who said, "I'm going," but didn't go, those were those self-righteous, law-preaching, law-knowing individuals whose hearts were not right with God. I don't ever want to be just an empty suit, just someone who talks about it when it's convenient about my religion and God. And God doesn't want any of us to be that way either. He wants us to put off that old man, put on the new man, as is taught to us in the Word of God, and live for Him. God shows no partiality, the Scripture says in Acts 10, when Paul went to Cornelius' house, to those Gentiles. He shows no partiality. Whoever will do His will, He'll bless. Anyone can be saved. Any of us can serve God. The door is open. The Lord is bidding us to come. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." You know, serving God is the abundant life. It may not always look like the abundant life to the outsiders, to those who are lost. It may look like pretty bad life to them. But that's just because they don't have Jesus as their shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. He's come that we might have life, not just physical life, but eternal life. He wants to bless us, and He will, and He does bless us on this earth. Certainly, there are promises made to those who would follow Him and put His kingdom first. He'll give us our clothing. He'll give us our food. He'll give us our shelter. This is a promise of God. God will take care of us physically on this earth. When we're cast down, He'll be there with us, giving us grace. He come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Maybe it's time. There's something in your life. Maybe it's time to be a doer of the work. You know, and this applies to every person here. To be a doer of the work. What is it that Christ is telling your heart? If you're not saved, I guarantee you, Jesus wants you to be saved. And when He begins to call you to that, convict your heart, convict you, make you realize that you're a sinner, because nothing that we have to offer God is really acceptable to God, only through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that we could be saved. So believe me, God wants you to be saved. And if you've known that for a while, maybe it's time to become a doer, to do what you need to do. You need baptism? Maybe it's time to quit making excuses and do what the Lord wants you to do. And we, as members of the church, let's be sure that we're not just hearers of the word. You know that just hearers of the word, it also said, it's like looking in a mirror and looking away and then you've forgotten all about it. And that's the way we do sometimes. We come here in our service and we hear the Word of God, and the Word of God reveals through the Spirit. He reveals to us truth, but He also reveals to us our own condition. And so maybe it's time for us to do the things that we've been thinking about doing. Because only the doers of the word are going to be blessed. Let's stand. We'll have an invitational song. If the Lord has worked in your heart. He's touched your heart, and you know that there's something that's undone that you need to get right with God about. Whatever it is, I invite you to come as we sing.